Hey helpers, this is Being the Work, the show where therapist buddies get to relax, hang out, get out of the chair and into our lives, where we can go on a journey into the taboo and absurd and entirely agonizing moments of life as humans and helpers. I'm Blakely.
And I'm Ben. And we're getting intentional about remembering our purpose, addressing our pain, expressing our grievances, and doing some self-care together so we can keep helping people.
We're really glad you're here.
Thank you, Blakely. I'm really glad I'm here. And everyone, there's some links. There's some links in the show notes for support and ways to get in touch with us if you'd like to hang out sometime. Let's get started.
Here we go.
Yeah, I don't even know how I'm going to edit this. Like, there's a lot of quietness and a lot of space.
I think that's okay.
But it's really good.
It's a little heavy. Yeah, I don't know that we were aware of where this process would take us. But I don't think I predicted this depth at this moment.
Yeah, that's clear.
As a sum up, you know.
Hi, everyone. It's Ben.
Hey.
Blake is here with me. We're just wrapping up this conversation, and we're getting to a place where it's like, oh, how do we end this? Well, we decided to do an intro to let you know what you're getting into today. So buckle up. We are getting very real on our journey for self-care together. There is a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of tears. There's anger. There is a lot of exploration of asking a lot of deep questions and us supporting each other. There's some trigger warnings that I want to give as well. I share some detail of some trauma I've been through. Not a lot of detail, but I do talk about some of my own body sensations and the experience of it. And so I'm going to put some timestamps in the notes. So I'll let you know when I'm talking about that. So if you want to skip that, you can. Blakely also talks a little bit about some stuff as well. I'm going to give you a timestamp for that. We talk about self-harm. We talk about experiences of flashbacks and things like that. It's quick and it's also vague. So, but anyways, we just want to warn you, heads up, be prepared if you're on your way to work. But maybe this one we save for later. We've started this season with self-care together.
Self-care together.
We started with, okay, let's reevaluate where the podcast is and where we are as individuals.
Yep.
And we said, hey, you know, why don't we get more real rather than just talking about just general ideas of what it's like to be a counselor or a social worker?
Well, and we're in this. We see each other. We understand each other. I ignorantly proposed that, oh, what a sweet, naive baby. Proposed that we give each other self-care challenges.
Yes.
Challenge some blind spots. I see some stuff. More in vivo.
More lived life.
Get in it.
Yes. Let's show people our lives.
And there's this analogy that I've heard Brené Brown use that I really, really like, which is day one, day two, day three, right? Day two. You can't see the beginning of where you started. You can't see the end of where you're going. It's fucking dark, guys.
Three-act structure of the hero's
act
journey.
Act two of the play. Yes.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah. Further callback. Well done. But we are each other's Gandalf, though, right? You meet the wise one who sends you on the path. Hey, we're in day two. We cannot see the beginning. We cannot see the light of the end.
Yes.
We're shining the light that we can, or carrying our little candles through the tunnel. And thankfully, we're side by side.
Yes.
Thankfully.
Yes.
You're all here with us, too. This shit got hard. When you should take yourself to therapy episode, it's in the feed.
That's a callback to Blakely saying she needs to go back to therapy.
And I called three people and it got very discouraging and then I didn't do it.
Yeah. And I think we even sort of called that back like earlier in this season.
Yeah.
Where I was calling out the shoulds are a part of the problem that is the mental health stigma for us as professional helpers. And there just needs to be more acceptance mm-hmm. that this is hard. Just because we're helpers doesn't mean, and we're trained, doesn't mean that we have access to wisdom easily. No, we have to go through the same painful journeys.
Do you make this so long?
Shut up. This is a conversation. This is
no,
not
it is, like... it is. And like, it can't be. It can't be because then those last an hour.
So wrap it up. Wrap it up. Okay. So look for the trigger warnings. We hope that you come along with us in this journey. This whole thing is about supporting each other and giving you a platform to get real with yourselves. And if you want to be involved with us doing this, we would love to hear from you. We all need support through this whole journey. So you can get in touch with us, beingthework@gmail.com. You can reach out to us on Instagram @beingthework is our handle. Is there any other place?
We're on Patreon. Same. Patreon.com/beingthework.
Yeah. So come with us on this journey. So just a quick reminder, Blakely challenged me to get out of my way and to express myself by doing an improv class. And I more vaguely challenged her to loving kindness, particularly for herself. And so she started reading a book and I attended some improv. But we'll get into a little bit more of what we've actually done in this episode. In therapy recently, I think I started to tell you about this a while ago, but like in therapy, we've been doing EMDR. And when we're doing that, like my mind is sort of like wandering and exploring, but it's associating different experiences in my life with the same trauma experience that I had this last summer. Yeah. And there has been this sort of like haunting of a body memory. I don't really even know the actual whole setting or context of it, but I'm like maybe 6-7 and I'm in bed in the dark and I get woken up from sleep with screaming.
Oh, you did start to tell me this and I think
yeah,
like, we shifted, sorry.
Like screaming outside of my room, and that the memory of that fear, like even just saying it right now, like it
gets you elevated.
It's vestiges of physical sensation, like in my chest, that plummet quickly into my stomach, and kind of lead to like just like this floaty sensation, tingles all over kind of feeling, and so we've been doing this and we've been kind of tapping with it and doing some grounding with it. And I've made the most progress I've ever had where I realize, like, I don't know, there was this like vision while we were tapping, this like sort of imaginative thing where I myself as me now, like, was able to show up in that room and see the little boy in the bed. And I wrote this down. Where'd it go? Because I've told you about the whole thing where it's like slowly through therapy, like this protective vision of Ferdinand the Bull has shown up, and like he's been big and strong and gentle and helped me through the memories and processing through like the trauma from this last summer. And like that contact with that calming, strong, comforting, loving energy has really helped in times of intrusive thoughts and flashbacks. And so then a few sessions later, I realized, oh, Ferdinand is what I give to my clients.
Well, yeah, because that's what I was just about to say. Why is it so fucking hard to give ourselves right. what we give to other people when we need mm-hmm. it?
It's the process. Like, it's not rational.
No, I mean, I know.
And that's the thing is, like, so that was, there was a lot of tears around that, like realizing I am who I need in a way. Like, I can give myself that sense of love.
Mm-hmm. Which you have hated when I say.
I have, because I wasn't ready. So I showed up in that little boy's room as Ferdinand and as myself. And I was able to see him laying in bed, frightened and terrified. And I wrote this. Oh, shit. Okay.
Okay, I won't stare at you.
Okay. Okay. I would have really, really, really loved to be your dad. You were so loving and kind. Mm-hmm. Your heart was so warm and soft and beautiful and lovely. I would have loved you, and I would have been so proud of you.
Yeah.
I would claim you as my own, and I'd watch you move about. Oh, what's that say? My eyes are too blurry. I would notice you when you are down. I would encourage you when you feel low. I'd let you talk, and I'd ask you about your life. I'd take you to ice cream and Starbucks and laser tag and bowling. I'd learn to rollerblade for you. I'd watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with you. I would be the Green Power Ranger with you. I'd play football and basketball with you. I'd hug you and I'd love you. I'd teach you about girls. I'd teach you how to be confident. I'd teach you how to spot a liar. And I'd show you how to trust yourself. I'd show you how to do things. And let you try and fail. And try again. And I'd support you throughout. You are so special. As you lay there, sweet, in your bed, terrified. I would have laid next to you. And I would have helped you know you were safe. That was the first time that I've given that to me. Like, it's crazy that, like, this is exactly what I did for Brooks when he got attacked. And ironically, what I've learned to do because I felt terrified when he got attacked. And I don't know. Like, it's, really nice to feel, I guess. Like, I don't think I've cried like that in front of you ever. Really around really anybody.
No, not like that, I don't think.
Except for Ashley. Mm. Well, and I guess my therapist, she's seen my gross snot coming out of my nose.
Yeah, that's a good thing about having friends that do what we do. That stuff doesn't tend to shake us much. It can get pretty real. Yeah, what does that feel like?
Light. While it's happening, it's still hard for me to just let it happen, because I think I was more concerned about you than I was about me, and that might not be fair. I don't know that I needed to be concerned about you, but I was. Like, diving into the intensity of it is hard. It's not fun. I don't like it. But I mean, it's sad. And I wish I could have done it sooner. And that's sure. The grief of it. But, like, I also know that it's life-changing and transformational. And so, yeah, like, it feels good to feel the feelings now. Like, after they've passed, like, it feels lighter.
Yeah.
My muscles don't feel so tight. It feels like there is a lot of release. Heavy. My mind feels clear. It's almost like when I do some meditations, like if I'm in the right space, like there's this line that this guy says that I like, that he just simply says, what if there were no problems to solve right now? And there are times when I've been able to realize, oh, there's a lot of freedom in that. And this,
yeah,
this just does it, like feeling these feelings with you and reading this, and like it is easy, very, very easy access to that sense of freedom. Like there is no problems to solve right now.
Yeah.
It feels safe. It feels accepting. It feels cared for. It feels embraced and welcomed.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me cry like that.
I don't mind. It's all right. Thanks for sharing.
Oh, God.
Thanks for sharing.
You know, back when I asked you to do loving kindness for homework,
mm-hmm,
and you were like, at least I gave you something concrete to fucking do.
Mm-hmm.
I think I showed my work on this. So,
fact. But you also manifested my fucking ex-girlfriend. Thanks.
Ah, yes. Well, putting it out into the air, putting out it into the world.
You did this.
Yes.
You did this.
Yeah, you can blame me. That's okay. Okay, so you're saying winter solstice?
Yes. So, new friends, the only other gay moms in preschool, so it's, you know.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
High presh.
Trying to make a good impression. Our kids need to see other queer families. We're very Midwestern suburban. They seem to be other people who are aware that, I don't know, the world is melting and everyone's acting like it's normal out here in Beige Town.
Yeah.
So, they have a solstice party on my birthday.
Hmm.
Okay. I'm supposed to have dinner with my parents. Go by the solstice party. Cool, cool, cool. So, at the solstice party, they have the wish paper. It's like real thin, and you kind of like write stuff on it, and then you light it up, and it
sure, yeah,
it floats off. Uh-huh. Well, so one of the other moms, she got some going. We're all kind of setting our intentions on the darkest night of the year, and I'm writing down like, okay, I'm on the self-compassion journey. Like, send me what I need to just cross this fucking bridge.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm in it. I'm turning 38. This is my day. The darkest night of the year is mine.
Yeah.
Woo. So we light these up. First of all, I should have known, because this paper, it was like we were trying to commit arson with this shit.
Wow.
It immediately, a blaze starts floating directly into their house.
Oh, no.
Four of them go up at the same time, just like headed for the trees and the roof.
Wow.
Just, and we're all just kind of standing there looking at each other like, this is good omen, right? So I think, oh, that funny. Ben has sent me on the self-compassion, loving-kindness journey that, I've been trudging along. It's great.
Yeah.
And then this. You did this. Ben sent all the ghosts from my past knocking on my door. I did too. I swear to God. I sent it up in flame and asked for this shit.
Yes, you did.
But I need someone to blame, and so I blame you. Why did you send this to me? Why are you making me do this? My toxic, abusive, horrible ex-girlfriend shows up after zero contact for 10 fucking years. And yes, I blame you.
You're welcome.
God, thanks. I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah.
I have a totally different life now. Can I just live it? And let the ghosts spook and haunt as they will.
Mm-hmm.
Ghosts be ghosts. Let them do what they do.
Yeah.
Ew. All of my intentions are set on handling my shit. And all honesty, this is my shit.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Authenticity is hard.
It's so hard. You have to know what it is, first of all. You have to know you. Then you have to have enough appreciation and confidence in knowing you that you can enact it, the real version, effectively.
Yeah. To me, there's a real reality of us asking questions.
Yeah.
And how core that is to our being.
Okay.
We're questioning beings, humans.
Sure.
And
yeah, I mean, we wouldn't have tools if we didn't ask questions.
Exactly. We have to interrogate our experience and learn from it and then produce from it. So we appropriate our experiences and the life around us and we create from it. Authenticity is also interrogating ourselves, which is this odd Ouroboros, I believe is what it is. The snake eating itself or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a constantly becoming. It's constantly asking questions and becoming something new and developing. And that's a really difficult balance to try to strike. Like,
we're being born even as we're dying, right?
Exactly. What it really kind of implies, I guess the consequence of that is living in a question rather than living in an answer. And
but that is more authentic.
It's the recursion of it. When you question and you find an answer, you live authentically to that answer until the next question comes. But you have to keep yourself open. And
well, yeah, I mean, following this mission statement, yes.
Exactly.
I just think that it's actually rare to do because it's so challenging and because it's painful. It's facing down the shit that we don't like to.
Exactly.
The constant conveniences and the constant, like, busy nonsense is so much easier to manage.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone acts like it stresses them the fuck out, but it's like it's all just a bunch of fluff to avoid our mortality.
Right.
Hang on. How much of our life is just distracting from our mortality? I think that's different for everybody, but I think it's in there for everybody too.
Yeah.
The answer is different, but none is bullshit.
Right. Because, I mean, the recursive nature, the reiterative nature, the cycle of life is we question, we answer, we question, we answer. And to me, like, I don't know why. Like, I just have felt compelled to see other people as valuable and human and able for me to learn from them. And they help me learn and I help support them in ways that they can't support themselves. And I don't know why. That's just been something that's always been a part of me pushing me forward into life. And I have found a lot of pride and a lot of strength and a lot of, gentle strength. I mean, it's interesting. But the fear of always living in the unknown and the lie of certainty is the reality. That's the mix of trying to synthesize these two opposites, this being and non-being, existence and non-existence, and like question and certainty. Like, I don't know. Like, it's a balance. It's wise mind. It's and unfortunately, it's also not a clear answer. And so when I ask you to do, like, when you ask me how to do the loving kindness and put some concreteness onto it, like, yeah, it's hard to describe, but I know what it is because I've experienced it. And I suppose that's why I asked you to do it, is to lean into the unknown, lean into the which is ultimately scary.
Yeah, because look what pops out of it.
I know.
I don't want to stick my head in the dark black hole anymore.
The dark black hole of certainty?
No. Shit flies in reverse.
Acting like it doesn't exist.
Yeah, that was easier.
I just invited you to pull your head out of the sand. And then you realized everything that was around you is still there.
Mm-mm. No, no. No, 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 no.
Oh, no.
The timing of this is just too fucking annoying. I try to be a scientist.
But
coincidences happen. But give me a fucking break.
But I show my work.
Thank you. I don't know. I'm just stuck on my why now temper tantrum. It's real hard to get past this.
But that's why I show my work. I show my work to you. Like, I give you the evidence. This is what has come from me not turning away from my fear.
Well, and this is what, I mean, honestly, this is what's valuable about getting out of our own echo chamber. There's specific stuff that has influenced us based on what we do too. We're behind the curtain. We're too aware of this stuff.
Yeah.
On top of everything else, it just creates this complexity.
Yeah.
Of we're already trying to enact what we value, which is balance, wellness, wise mind,
mm-hmm.
emotion regulation, physical, emotional, mental wellness and health to the maximum degree at all times. Of course, that's the goal,
mm-hmm.
especially for us, because we're models of it in the world. But I complain about our roles and what a strain they are a lot. But there is a strange thing of being, I get to have a layer of gratitude. And I wonder what you feel like happens in this echo chamber. I feel like I get to have a gratitude for my own misery because of how I can manipulate that of myself to help other people.
Yeah.
It gives me understanding. It gives me empathy. It gives me tools.
Mm-hmm.
What was I saying earlier about this specific thing?
Yeah.
Or maybe you were and it made me think about it.
You knew what it could be to want to cut out the pain.
Yeah.
And how useful it was to help you engage with the clients that were also feeling the same.
I've been to a point of darkness that I felt like the darkness lived inside me.
Yeah.
And it could not extricate it.
Right.
And I can fully understand the desire to literally, trigger warning, cut your skin open, reach in, and just let the poison ooze you.
Yeah.
To be fucking gone, even if it only lasts for a moment.
Yeah.
Just to be so desperate to be rid of this poison.
Mm-hmm.
And that appreciation, that understanding is something that made me better.
Yeah.
It makes me better in that room because I can tell you I didn't have it before. So to be glad that I reached a point of darkness that gave me an understanding, that's a weird, twisted thing. Through what sounds like such a pile of darkness, it actually feels lighter, better, that connectedness of... There's one thing of doing treatment as a scientist. There's another thing of leaning in and being connected to another person through pain.
Yeah. So there's a book that I really enjoy. It's called The Art and Science of Planning Psychotherapy. It's by Mary Jo Peebles. And the whole book is meant to balance this understanding and diagnosis conceptualizations, like trying to be a human and also trying to be a scientist.
Yes.
And because we do need to have some structure to actually plan things while also, like, she just kind of, the book is written very in a very narrative fashion, and I love it. Like, it's a really beautifully written book. Doesn't feel like a textbook, but it's so packed with knowledge and wisdom. And so anyways, she talks about this. Like, it is a completely different, she doesn't use these words, I use these words. It's a different epistemological construct. Diagnosis is separating people into categories and finding symptoms and trying to do the math. What does this present as? The understanding is very human. It is getting underneath the problem to understand the lived experience of it. And that's what we do. That's what we are trying to balance both of those things.
Absolutely.
And people don't like to feel pain, and therefore, to me, don't like to sit in the uncertainty of a question. They want quick answers. They want quick fixes. And they will only, the people in power or in control of money, will invest in those answers and not in people who actually have wisdom that sit in the question to understand it. So I'm right with you. Like, when I think about my journey of experiencing trauma, I can't separate it from the stories I have heard of trauma and the secondary trauma that I have picked up along the way.
Yep.
Because their descriptions and their embodiment of that trauma in front of me has lived inside of me as well. Like it has mirror neuroned over the gap between the two of us. And I have felt the sensations that people have described to me, despite me having very different physiology than them and having never been there. But my empathy and my imagination that is active to understand people has brought me to knowing what it feels like, but also having gone through my own traumas. This year, I haven't looked at my chart, but I'm quite sure there is a diagnosis of PTSD. I also learned this year that I...
I've been seeking answers so intensely from all different sources that I've been leaning into my my horoscope a bit.
Uh-huh.
I literally thought you meant your astrological chart.
Oh, no. That's funny.
That's why I chuckled.
You were probably really shocked about what...
And then I was
He's talking about a horoscope?
Like Ben, That's why I laughed. And then you were like, PTSD. And I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, you're like, let down. Aw.
That.
No, like, I also found out I have...
That's funny shit.
I have ADHD and have had that for a very long time. And so, like, leaning into loving kindness for myself and what it is to have an appreciation of who I am.
Yeah.
And learning that I am Ferdinand, learning that I can be very large and take up a lot of space.
Hold on. Is that Ben saying that what he needs already lives within him? What?
Shut the fuck up.
Give me this one. I'm struggling.
Okay. Sorry. You were right all along. I should have listened to you a long time ago. You had vision to places I could not see.
Oh, fuck.
And you wanted me to go grab it.
So fuck it's surprising
you.
And not.
No. Fuck you. You brought all this about. It's your fault. It is your fault. All the pain I've been through this last year, it is you.
Yeah, I know. It's true.
Fuck.
Oh, my God.
You.
No, but like it's surprising, but it probably shouldn't be that we spun the table on each other.
Yes.
You do what I do.
Yep.
And I'll do what you do.
Yeah.
And then.
Yep.
Holy shit.
Let's see what emerges.
A lot. Spoiler alert. It's a lot.
Yeah.
That's emerged. Both what I feel like we've actually enacted by walking through the stuff. Right.
Yeah.
But I try not to be woo-woo, man, but how the fuck does this happen? I joke, but not. Where did this come from right now? It's strange. It's strange that I nearly literally asked for it.
Yeah, my pain has helped me understand other people and their pain. And unfortunately, that's come with some suffering on my end, which has completely impacted my professional development.
Yeah, because that's what's striking me really strongly as you talk is most of the trauma that you're referencing has happened in like recent past, and you're feeling almost a test of those skills in a sense, right? Like, okay, like I have to walk the trial of really applying this, of finding the me thing that you have started to find, right?
Mm-hmm. The Ferdinand the Bull experience of that is me, the strength, the power, the gentleness as well is all wrapped up in that. And recent past of trauma, really, I mean, it kind of goes back to, I want to say 2012 was the first like car accident.
Oh, I forget about that. Yeah.
I would have been probably diagnosed with acute stress because it didn't last longer than a month. But I think, honestly, now that I think about it, like...
You still have car shit, though.
No, I still have car shit. So
yeah.
That's like, what I diagnosed myself back then because I was like, I don't want to have PTSD. But no, I have it.
Because I don't want to.
Like, it got there.
Matters.
And So anyways.
So many diagnoses I don't want.
Yeah.
As if that matters. And the timeline of it is what I'm thinking about is, so you've.
Oh, you were asking like if I felt tested. And yes, absolutely. Because it's like me helping as I'm in pain, but also learning as I'm going through. And it's like there is this obligation that I've embraced and both hated. It's like this both and thing. I will choose to face this pain and fear to help other people. And I I've developed a ton. Like, I am very, very proud of what I've become.
Mm-hmm.
But the unfortunate part, I haven't provided it to myself to this capacity, to this level, where I haven't felt I can actually rest in a way that I've never rested before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to sort of be aware that also the way that I'm talking about it right now makes it feel like it is something that is permanent, but it is not. It is something that is accessible, and I know how to access it, but it's not something that if I don't cultivate it, it will not be there, is what I'm saying.
Because that's what I said a minute ago, right? Like, I set this intention of I'm going to cross this bridge.
Right.
And we don't dictate the terms of that much, though.
Yeah.
And that's what, I don't know, it's all, because that it's in the balance of certainty that the world makes itself right. There's not a right or wrong choice.
Mm-hmm.
We enact what we pursue. There's not, I'm trying to, there is something I'm trying to put together here. Hold on. Why does this feel like it flips through my fingers? I became a therapist right after.
Right.
I haven't been able to have this perspective until today that I knew that I was using some of that to help them, but I didn't necessarily appreciate that it would help me too.
Mm-hmm.
And it has put me on that path further than I thought. Helping people is healing too. And I haven't given it a minute to consider that it really was helpful. I have had that burnout shame that I shouldn't feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was bottling a lot of this up and saying, like, if I help them make progress, then I'm making progress.
Yeah.
And I'm in a space now where I can acknowledge and be authentic about how much progress that is legitimately there. It has a healing momentum.
Yes, absolutely.
Even when we're not being super intentional about it,
There's a post-traumatic growth with learning and facilitating and addressing pain and trauma when it's not yours. To say that we're not constantly learning and constantly getting insight from our clients, like, that always is happening for me. And I had a thought, it just popped into my mind. There is a connection between our pain and our human experience and the expectation socially that we are sort of plastic, unhuman, perfect beings.
Right.
That it creates the soil for imposter syndrome. This experience of feeling like you don't belong. And that's something that I've been committed to trying to, like, call out. And so the more that I've faced this and just said the positives of it, the strengths of it, the ability that I have learned from, the growth that I have made, I don't feel like an imposter. Like, I belong.
Yeah. Oh, because I can bitch and complain about this timing all day, but it's not coincidental.
Yeah.
It's not out of control in this way. It makes me feel out of control if I look closely, because I have asked for this, and it gives me this weird faith feeling that I am constantly trying to be a control freak. And I'm constantly saying, like, I should be ready for this, or I should be over that, or I should.
Right. Yeah.
I do believe that what you need shows up when you need it. You have the tools. You have to carve them out and cultivate them and hone them, but they're there. Except, have I actually believed that for me?
I was just going to ask you, I'm going to put this to the test. Like, okay, so me sobbing in front of you today, reading a letter from me to me saying I would have absolutely loved to be your father. Like,
by the way, Ben, if this was only the first time that I observed you doing therapy with yourself, like by the way, what a fucking four, man. It's not the first time.
No, it's not. No. No.
And you still, but still, you're such a fucking four that you fight me that you have what you need when you literally do Ben on Ben therapy.
Like, oh, shut up.
Come on, man. Okay. Quit fighting me.
Okay. Yes. You are all knowing and you are so good at what you do.
I know. but really, I set myself on this path and whatever comes of it is okay because me and the universe got an agreement that will make it okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I'm in a safe place. I'm in a secure place.
Yeah.
I'm in a secure place with me. I like me. I like the person I actually married.
Yeah.
I have fucking kids that are amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else do I need? And that will mean that will stay. That's what I have. I also have all of this like breadth of wisdom and expertise that I can say mm-hmm. out loud that I have that, yes, I can borrow it for myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if I want to bitch and complain about the timing, well, then I shouldn't have hit the timer.
You should. The shouldn't have, I don't like the word, but it points to the, I need to accept this.
Yeah. I mean, it's not my fault. It's not a should. It's here.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, the way that just the tone, sort of like the spirit, I feel like you're saying it from, is more wise and more grounded and less clinging to certainty or like clinging to hope for certainty. But it's like a calm understanding of this is what I have in this moment. It doesn't feel like you're so focused on the absence of what's there. The pain always asks why. And I've been telling you this whole time, that's not the question we need to ask.
But Ben, there's just that piece of me that has been screaming,
I know,
that
of course,
on repeat,
of course,
for years.
Of course.
And she was way in the background,
of course,
way back there. So yeah. When she is given a fucking one-way ticket to the front of the line,
I've invited her forward.
She would like to speak.
Yes.
The rest of us have been telling her to shut the fuck up for about, I don't know, 8 years now. Said, okay, enough. Nobody has an answer to your question. And then all of a sudden, I'm at Costco getting gas. I look down at my phone.
Yeah.
And here's an opportunity to answer her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's let her have her moment. Because mm-hmm. she's been waiting. And that's just true. I could say it's coincidental, but this shit comes up when I am doing the exact things that I did to intentionally heal myself from this shit the first time. I'm doing my loving kindness meditations that I did then, very intentionally, that I could give people that I...
What have you done? What have you done? Concretely, what have you done? What is your meditation?
The big one is that I'm back in yoga. That's the thing that changes my mind and body the most. And is a big thing that I did then that gave me an anchor. And so to have that be a relatively recent return of my wellness practice, one of the reasons that I didn't do it for a while was because like emotionally, it felt really connected to this trauma and the situation. Like child's pose weeping on my mat was a regular experience for me.
Has that come back?
Right. And so
child's pose weeping on your mat?
No, I thought it might because in that space, I let it flow more. That's part of the process. I'm in tune with my body. And there's just a fluidity that I appreciate of challenging. And it's, I don't know, I'm starting to understand that it's kind of probably one of my ADHD things, that this physical challenge gives me the fidgety whatever can possibly fucking be outside of that dark ass room. And so that is the main thing, because I'm forcing myself into a headspace that is kind of challenging. And finding there that I'm still safe. Oh, but the weirdest experiences, because I did, honestly, I had kind of a go-to loving kindness. I was starting to do more and more DBT or getting back to doing more DBT. I had as a student done as a practicum student. I was a DBT therapist and trying to practice what I preach. And so I was also being challenged by being in consult and being forced to do loving kindness meditations in groups of people when I have at the forefront of my mind this fucking rage at two people in the world. So, yeah, also weeping in DBT consultation. And which makes me, of all people, feel
so strong and so good.
So threats that I feel when you shove me down this and lovingly.
Just determined. Like, shoving. I don't really fucking care. Like, you need to turn that direction.
It doesn't matter because I need it. Who cares? Yeah. And I appreciate and respect and, and love and hate and whatever. And then it happens. So, yes, this feels
bizarre.
That's
where, okay, so that's where my metaphor of me inviting you to pull your head out of the sand, like, and realizing everything is still there. There is no, like, bigger things at work. Like, it is really just, yes, what you need, you will find when you look. Like, it is present. The power of our mind to put ourselves in, like, just to bury our heads is...
I was ready to do it. Me, independently. I didn't need to hear from one of those people.
Of course. Okay. I
don't think, like, I needed that, but the universe seems to think that I needed that.
The only thing there that's like, okay, maybe that's the universe, right? Like, them reaching out to you.
Dude. Then? Now? Now.
Yeah, the timing.
None contact.
Fine. But what is here is here.
I did my Pima reading that morning.
That's right.
Before I headed out to Costco.
That's right. That's right.
Before I headed out to Costco to be a good stay-at-home mom.
You're doing the loving kindness reading I assigned you. And then you get this. Oh.
I did not feel loving or kind. I didn't. I saw it on my phone and I said.
Yes. The irony of bodhicitta is pain.
Nice.
This is the irony. That is why, like, it is called loving kindness warriors. Like, the people who do this are loving kindness warriors. This is entering pain.
I'm made for real war.
Having courage.
No.
And this is so fucking hard. Like, this is not for the weak.
Are you seeing my body language right now? I cannot.
Pull it off of me.
Oh, my God. I haven't wanted out of my skin in a while. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I keep doing that, right? Like, the expand and contract of being in the center, being able to be wise, being able to trust and believe that my security, my confidence, my self-awareness, my actual, like, daily love in my life and my home and my existence and all of these empowering things, that is what's at the center. My agony and my trauma and my most vulnerable moments live in that space too.
Isn't all the stuff that you just listed at the center? That is your growth. That is your strength. That is your power. Despite all of the trauma, the post-traumatic growth,
I'm also in that because of it space.
That's right.
I have to understand that my life right now is because of everything that's transpired.
This is what you have been able to make despite all that shit.
Yes. Well, because this is why I can trust myself. And that situation rocked every layer of trust I had in me. The one thing that I had actually trusted was me. I don't trust a lot of other people. So to be able to greet me with the why bitch screaming like she does, and with the little pissy one throwing her tantrum, and with the, oh God, the one that I probably hate the most, the one that won't get out of the fucking corner.
Oh, yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
They're all here. And I'm sorry, but your amends email doesn't make them go away still. I do that. I've done all of it so far. I don't need from you. You seem to need from me again.
Yeah.
And is the ultimate test of this compassion shit meeting that?
Meeting what?
Meeting that request with, like, a fucking gift of compassion and a closed door. Is that an answer? Not that I owe it, but do I even want to give it? I get the choice. And that's valuable.
My answer to you is no. Because I what I hear you asking is, do I meet that person for the meeting that they are asking for? And I say, no, that is not what compassion is about.
Not even in that very specific structure. I'm just trying to decide in general what energy I give back to this.
So I guess the frame of reference I'm coming from is you are embodying compassion toward this right now. Like, this is part of the energy that you're putting toward it. And if you feel the need to feel your own power in the presence of that person, if that's needed, I question if it is, but two, if you can't feel the power and conjure it and construct it on your own with the thoughts and the emotions that you have, being able to do that in the midst of their presence as well is going to be very, very, very difficult.
Well, because the strength of it all is just a big question. Like, how we define strength is complicated in a big sense. And so me being me, I have to sit with for a little bit the fact that it is not automatically weak for me to protect myself and say no. But I also acknowledge that to me that
feels
weak.
Because the sign of strength is I can do anything. Yeah. I can handle do it. Anything. Yeah.
Because I can't. And my automatic answer is I can. But it doesn't mean I should. It doesn't mean it's
right.
How do
you define handle? Can you tolerate it?
Yes.
Can you?
Of course I can.
Come out of it not losing yourself? Maybe mostly, but you will get burned.
Like, I will for a little bit. Like, yeah.
It's like there's this sense of tempting fate almost. Like, let's test myself.
Yes.
Peace. I don't know which part of you that is if it's the one that's like complaining all the time or the one that's screaming to the heavens why. But like, I'm going, yeah, that needs some boundaries. That little one, no tantrums here. No, this needs to be intentional. No impulsivity here. No.
And that's
shut. Thank you.
I have
I love
to give
you.
Myself.
Go sit down on the bench, okay? We will call you when we need you.
Also, by chance, I had just been in a little bit of a hyper-focus moment with some internal family system stuff. So add that to the convenience of the coincidence of it all. Like, I just had this awareness already of some of my parts, right? And how they, and it, you know, because it's one of those theories that I kind of like naturally am drawn to because I kind of talk like that and room anyway, whatever.
It's very find the synthesis between all the parts.
Yeah. And I had already been kind of sitting with a couple of those bitches that just, gosh, I know I'm the head of the council, but oof, God, it's challenging. I appreciate me and I'm challenged by me. The eight runs deep and I'm going to look to it for some wisdom at this moment, please. Oh, should we look at what hinders my personal development or how I can further it? What makes me angry? I put my energy into taking direct action and facing conflict, protecting the weak and innocent. I mean, that's the weird thing is there's an instinct to protect all of these like weak bits. And I don't know, since I'm a kid, I'm always the person that's like the stand up to the bully person. And then I end up with one and I don't stand up for me. Me, I'm the one person that I have not managed to stand up
for. Listen, I thought about this earlier, but I didn't call it out and I'm going to call it out now. Is the one that's in the corner that you hate the most. Yeah. And that's a bully. And I don't think that person who's in the corner, who's hurt and pain, who's not being acknowledged, who's being called, you know, a weakling or whatever other epithets you want to give it. But like part is not, it's not disconnected from the other parts of you. Like the pain that is hiding in the corner, that's the one that, I don't know, that I feel like that's the center of it all. That's there is energy from pain that fuels the anger and also the impulsivity to find answers from sources that are superfluous, who don't even fucking matter anymore.
That's the other irritation is like, you think I haven't found some sort of answer on my fucking own by now? What do you even think my life is now?
I love that you're talking to your own bully right now.
Like, she still weeps over there, but she was louder.
I love
louder.
That you're talking to your own bully right now.
Well,
what do you fucking think you need?
What am I going to get from you? Not helpful. Yeah.
I love this conversation.
The weak one in the corner is a challenge for me.
Of course.
Anyway. And so to have made enough progress to let her be in the room with the rest of us, basically.
What's the Enneagram thing for you where it says what your initial essence that you lost? Because I feel like she's in the corner.
That we all know
she's
the truth.
The one in the corner.
I lost sight of everyone begins in innocence. Coming freshly to each moment, and everyone can sense the truth. She couldn't. She fucked it up.
No, she didn't. She chose a value that she could sense that was different. And it burned her. And to say that the other parts of you didn't have some role in that is head in the sand energy.
Oh no, they were open buttons.
And acceptance or forgiveness in order to change or act. That's the synthesis here. That you can accept all those parts, put boundaries around where they need to be put boundaried, and have a come to honesty, come to real is what we're talking about. Because the person in the corner, yes, needs to get up, but also needs to feel safe to get up. The person that needs to sit down and shut the fuck up for a second, she also needs to feel like she doesn't have to be so loud, right?
Well, I'm speaking kind of snidely about it, but to come to the center far enough when I say, we let her in the room with us, she's willing to come into the room with us.
Right.
We're not very nice.
No, it's not a very safe room to be in.
No, there are several of those presents kind of shitty. Yeah, so for her to go, can I come in?
But see, that's the thing.
Fine.
That's the funny thing is, I really relate to her.
We love you.
I really relate to that little one because I feel like I have gone through life sensing the inner pain of people.
Well, and we're just getting very close to the actual inner pain of this stuff.
So when she enters that room, she's willing to not fight back, but she can see the real of all of you. She can see the bullshit.
But she doesn't. I mean, she doesn't know her own wisdom.
That's why I can relate to her so well. Is I didn't know that until now.
Come on, girl, you got what you need. We're all right here. We're all right here. We need.
God.
Yes, because we're also hitting where I had to take ownership is this person was a representative of a bunch of shit that was just my shit already. My identity stuff, my body stuff, the timing. I mean, it's the time. I was in that glowing beacon of come and find me. And the queerness of it. Well, and just the intensity was beyond anything.
Yeah.
Understood. And there's just a queer factor to it that is hard to put words to, of just being that, I don't know, little freaked out fat queer baby inside of me needed what she was at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It made me feel big. And I play a part in that. I'm not entirely just victimized. It wasn't a drive-by.
I think that that's where there's so much grace that flows from me. That I want to give to that because it's how could you have ever known the outcome? How could you have ever seen just when you you were saying earlier, you keep reminding me in the funny way of saying, hey, you have what you need. You don't need something else. And okay. Logically cool. I could do the thought experiment and do the arithmetic of that and go, okay, thank you. You have come to the right answer. And so it's all theoretical and not lived. And to actually take the lived experience of what you're talking about, just that thing of it made me feel big, there's a sense of that where it's a response to feeling small. And that is something that you needed, while also would not have ignored, right? And so just the circumstances of it, it's like, okay, there's got to be some grace. There's got to be some understanding of that context to go forward with healing.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm talking to myself right now too, in there's not really a way I could have done this sooner. Like, I don't see what could have been different. This is what it is now, and I'm grateful for it now.
It just doesn't matter. There's so much reflecting of, oh, it could be different, right. But time doesn't travel in reverse. There's not even a theoretical concept for time travel in reverse, only forward. We can speed it up, but we can't slow it down. Speaking of physics.
Well, and even the physics of it, I'm just even thinking about it. Like, I'm doing my dissertation. Phenomenology is a big part of that. Existence and time is a huge part of that. And our experience of time is not a measurement. Our experience of time flows.
Our experience of time.
Flows. Right. I think you just pointed out the ADHD factor.
Right? I did a little bit. I did. Remember when I was talking about the now and the not now?
Yeah. Right. Like, it either exists in my mind or it doesn't exist in my mind. There's something that has been attributed to Einstein. He's talking about the difference in measuring time versus experiencing time. And it's like an hour with your hand on a hot stove feels like an eternity. But an hour with a pretty girl feels like a minute. Like, in that, the way that he's talking about that is like just the regular time flies when you're having fun, right? Time stands still when you're suffering. And that's the frame of reference that I have come to really value.
Well, and that's part of that.
Is like, yeah, that's really great.
Absolutely, because time is an illusion in so many ways. Like, we've designed it just... Like, we had to have some structure, but even our emotional experience of time wavers, in which
this
matters
is
more.
What I was really hoping for in this season of, like, self-caring together. Yeah.
I can't say this is what I was hoping, but I'm in acceptance mode. It's fine.
I mean, there's just so much. There's so much that is wrapped up in our lives as professional helpers that intertwines and gets really messy, is that we have to use ourselves to become a professional version of ourselves, to do things in a safe, ethical, and also, what's the word? The therapy room, the therapy space to me is a sanctuary. It is, what's the word that I'm trying to say? Sacred. It's sacred. And I think the majority of folks that commit their time and their money and their life to doing this work feel the same way. But when it comes to supporting each other, when it comes to supporting ourselves, when it comes to all of that, we are so busy looking outward, living for other people, we forget to live for ourselves. And that's what the whole self-care stuff is trying to get at. But then it doesn't go far enough to who we are. And
right.
So it just feels like bullshit, or it feels selfish. Because starting with a task or a coping skill or treating ourselves like an object, well, you just need to go shine the outside a little. You just need to pamper it a little. And then... look, it's polished. Sure. It's all good. Like, no. Okay.
Well, like, even my example of yoga, on its surface, yoga is just it's whatever. It's a, you know, it's a culturally appropriated activity I can do. Cool. But my lived experience with yoga is a specific thing to me. So the task matters, but my experience in it is what actually matters for me. I can prescribe everybody go do it, but it wouldn't be this. It wouldn't be
when
what
you were
I'm talking about
yoga.
About.
I thought, oh, I could have just said, hey, I want you to go do yoga for your self-care challenge.
Sure.
But I was not as clear. I was not as concrete. And
well, because I can take a totally different spirit into that room and get a totally different thing out of it.
Right.
So it's that reverse, right? You set, you have the intention and you find your way to the the action that ties to it instead of trying to do an activity that'll get, that'll shortcut you there. The if you just.
I don't know. Maybe you did your homework before we had that conversation and I didn't do my homework to think of something that would all have this captured activity and spirit along with it. But like,
I know, but you know, my brain.
That's not my mind. Where, yeah, I like you, you said do improv, but the whole spirit of it was get out of yourself. Stop thinking and being, participate. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I haven't.
Oh, God. It is get out of the corner. Oh, no. Oh, oh no. Oh, my God.
You were giving yourself. Oh,
you, this is such a mind
fuck.
You hated
that version of me.
Oh, but I didn't. That's what I mean.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's what I mean. That are challenging for myself. So I don't...
Yeah, you're able to care for me like you weren't able to care for her in the corner.
I don't cringe at other people the way I cringe at me. I just don't. Especially, I don't know. Especially when the grace is already there.
Ferdinand. The grace was already there. The grace is already
there. I did not know what I was doing and I may not have done it. Yeah. That's a mind fuck. Okay.
There's a part of me that is mindful of the recording. And I saw this week on Apple Podcasts that we have 25 followers that regularly listen. And I'm mindful of them at this time. I don't know who you are, but I'm mindful of you listening to this. Mm. I don't think it's about as much answers as it is about the process.
In seeking answers, yeah. We found more and more value in the process.
I think we found value in each other. And I think I have found an experiential sense of care and affection and comfort that I can provide to myself and I can feel for you. And I'm gesturing at you, Blakely, but I'm also keeping in mind that I am also feeling that for the people I am hoping can also feel it as well. And this might feel like therapy almost, but it's not. Like it is I feel like our selves being real. And well, being in an exploration and in a journey.
It's something above and beyond that, because it's the space that lives where what we do and who we are and who we invite in beyond that outer shell, where all of that comes together is this little space, which I'm not certain what it is about me, but I feel more compelled to do the harder things if there's sort of a greater good. I'll throw myself down on the gauntlet if it means that we all get to have something better on the other side. That's me, right?
Yeah.
And that's when I step back from it, I can be very, very grateful for that space that is pushing me forward. Because I'll do it for these stakes in a way that I don't have the same motivation if it's just doing it to do it.
Agreed. Same. Yeah. I'm grateful for you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You too.
Thanks for listening to my letter to me.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing
it. That was
it.
Harder than I thought it would be. But yeah. I'm grateful.
I can understand.